are holding at the bracha of Shema Kaleinu. So, the last year we spoke about the word Shema, and I promised you that this time we'd go on to Kaleinu. So, let's talk about Kaleinu. We ask Hashem to listen to our Kol. So due to the fact that today was Zois Chanukah, we'll talk about Zois Chanukah as well. There is a famous vort that is brought in very, very early Sfarim. I've even seen it quoted in the name of the Zohar itself. On the pasuk Bezois Yavai Aharon El HaKodesh. The pasuk says by Yom Kippur that with this Aharon should come into the holiness, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what this forum say is that if you look into the Machzor on the words Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah that we say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Ma'avir, Nesroya, Agzera, that Tshuva, Tefillah, and Tzedakah remove the evil decree. So if you look into the Machzor on top of the words Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, it says Tzoyim, Koil Mamon. Tzoyim, which is fasting. Koil, voice. And Mamon is money. So Tshuva is defined by Tzoyim, by fasting. Tefillah is Koil, is voice. And Tzedakah is Mamon. Tzedakah is done with money. The Gematria, the numerical value of Tzoyim, Koil, and Mamon are all the same. Right? They are all 136. Tzoyim is 96 and 40, which is 136. Koil is Kuf Lamed Vav, which is 136. And Mamon is 40, 46 and 50, which is also 136. Each one of them is 136. The combination 136 times 3, which would be Tzoyim, Koil, and Mamon together, 136 times 3 is 408. 408 is the gematria of Zois. So, say this Sfarim HaKadoshim, Bezois Yavai Aharon al Kodesh. What does Aharon come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with? He comes in with Zois, with Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, which is Tzoyim, Koil, Mamon. So when we say Shema Koleinu, listen to our koil, we are not only asking for Hashem to accept, right? And Shema doesn't necessarily only mean listen. Shema means understand. When we say Shema Yisrael, it doesn't mean listen, it means understand and accept. So we're asking for Hashem to accept our koil, our Kuf Lamed Vav, which is our Tzoyim, our Koil, and our Mamon. Now, I'd like to expound on this a little bit. With a vort I said recently, we find that Yaakov Avinu when Esav was coming to greet him with 400 men, Yaakov Avinu prepared himself with three things, Rashi tells us. With a doyrein, tefillah, and melchama. With a gift, with prayer, and with battle. Now, we know that the Torah HaKadosha is not a history book. The Torah is eternal. And what the Torah tells us about Yaakov Avinu preparing to greet Esav, we need to eternalize that. The Torah is teaching us how we are to prepare ourselves to deal with our inner enemy, with our Yetzer Hara. Now, it seems pretty obvious that the way to greet our Yetzer Hara, the way to prepare for our Yetzer Hara is with tefillah. We understand that very well. We need to daven to Hashem to help us overcome our Yetzer Hara. We understand the concept of melchama when it comes with the Yetzer Hara, to battle. But doyren, how do we overcome our Yetzer Hara? How do we prepare for our Yetzer Hara with a gift? What does that mean? When Yaakov and Esav finally departed from each other, it said, the pasuk says, Yaakov nasa sukkoisa. Yaakov traveled to a place called Sukkos. By Yivan Leibois, he built for himself a house. And the tour says that in Hilchas Sukkah, that the Yontif of Sukkos, the tour talks about the three Yomim Tovim, the three regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, how they correspond to the three Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he says that the Yontif of Sukkos corresponds to Yaakov Avinu, from this pasuk of Yaakov Nosal Sukkos, Yaakov traveled to Sukkos. Now, this pasuk does not seem to have any connection whatsoever to the Yontif of Sukkos. Just because the name of the place is called Sukkos doesn't seem to have any relevance or any connection to the Yontif of Sukkos. So why, how is the tour deducting from this pasuk that Yaakov is related to the Yontif of Sukkos? And just in general, we need to understand what is really the connection between Avram and Pesach and Yitzchak and Shavuos. The pasuk immediately following that is by Yavoi Yaakov Sholem. Yaakov came whole. Ir Shechem, to the city of Shechem. And Rashi says, Sholem begufoi, Sholem b'mimoinoi, v'sholem b'toidosai. The Yaakov Avinu was whole in his body, with his money, and with his Torah. So, here also I'd like to try to gain some deeper understanding of what is the shleimus of guf, momen, and Torah dependent on. What is that dependent on? How does one obtain wholeness, perfection in these three areas? But the story of Shechem and Dina, I pointed out in Shul that it seems to be a very difficult parsha. We're dealing with the Shivtei Kol, which we can't even grasp their holiness and their Midas HaEmes. Now, they made a condition with Shechem and Hamor that if the city circumcises themselves, then there's a deal. And then the whole city went and circumcised themselves, and they went in and murdered the whole city. How do we reconcile that with Midas HaEmes? How can that possibly... How do we understand that? And finally, one more question. The Zohar HaKadosh says, I believe it's in a Medrash as well, that the reason why Bris Milah takes place on the eighth day is in order that the child should experience a Shabbos before the Bris. What is the importance? What is the relevance of? What is the significance of experiencing a Shabbos before a Bris? And we actually find the other way around as well. In Yismach Moshe, we say, that a uncircumcised person can't experience Shabbos. So it seems that it works both ways. You can't experience Bris without Shabbos. You can't experience Shabbos without a Bris. Why are these two things so dependent on each other? So, I'd like to suggest the following. The Pasuk says, V'yahavta as Hashem alaykecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol moedecha. Hashem tells us you are to love Hashem your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your means. And what the Torah HaKadosh is telling us, what the Rebbeinu Shlomo is demanding of us, is that even though it is totally natural to a person to love themselves, that's where we're naturally inclined to love ourselves, the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells us, you're Yidden. And due to the fact that you're Yidden, I want you to be connected to something that is eternal. I don't want you to be connected to something that is mortal. I want you to be connected to something that is immortal, something that's eternal. Ahava, love is connection. As long as a person is connected to themselves, as long as a person is connected to their self, then all the person is connected to is to mortality. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, I want you to love me. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is infinite, he's eternal. And when we connect to eternity, we, as a result, become eternal. So, the self of a person really is really encompasses three areas of a person. Love of self translates into love of self physically, financially, and spiritually. These are three areas that a person tends to become connected to themselves. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo therefore tells us, I want you to forfeit yourself to me physically, financially, and spiritually. So, Chazal say, An v'yahavdas Hashem alekecha b'chol nafshecha. When it says b'chol nafshecha, Chazal say, afilu noitel es nafshecha, meaning even if your life is placed in jeopardy, you are to give up yourself physically you're supposed to forfeit yourself for Hashem's love. So that's physically. B'chol mo'edecha, Chazal say, b'chol mimoincha, with all of your money, meaning we are to forfeit all of our money for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So that's physically and financially, Hashem wants us to forfeit ourselves. And then, the first word is b'chol levavcha. Chazal say, b'shnei yitzorecha. One is to love Hashem with both of their inclinations, their yetzer tov and their yetzer hara. Now we all understand that we need to forfeit our yetzer hara, right? That seems obvious. We need to forfeit our Yetzer Hara for Hashem. But how does one forfeit their Yetzer Tov to Hashem? The answer is that is the connection that we have to ourselves spiritually. Meaning, people have a preconceived notion of what spirituality is. There are people that have this preconceived notion. This is what spirituality must be. And it's very hard to talk to a person who has a shita of what it is. And the Torah HaKadosh is telling us, the Rebbeinu Shlomo says to us, no, you need to be open-minded to be able to hear the emes and to forfeit yourself spiritually. That when you hear the emes, a person should be willing to forfeit that. Forfeit their preconceived notions for the emes. B'shnei yitzarecha. Not only give up your yitzahara, give up your forfeit your yitzatov to the Divine Shalom. So b'chal levavcha is spiritually, b'chal nafshecha physically, b'chal ma'idecha financially. I realize a very interesting thing. Chazal tell us that there are four types of people that are considered meis. People are four types of people that are considered dead. One of them is somebody who has no children. The second is someone who's blind. Suma chashuv kameis. The third one is somebody who's poor. Ani chashuv kameis. Then there's a fourth one, which is a metzora. Very interesting to note that the avos, the three avos, each one of them had a different type of these misa. Avram was an akar. Avram had no children. Yitzchak was a suma. Yitzchak was blind. And Yaakov was an ani. Right? Eliphaz took away all of his money in order that he should be nechshav kameis. Right? That's what Esav sent Eliphaz to kill him. So he said, no, I'll take away all your money and ani chashuv kameis. What is it? Right, it's not an accident. Right? The Torah is teaching us something here. Perhaps Avram's nesoyin was b'chol nafshecha. Avram's nesoyin was forfeit yourself physically to the Divine Shlomo. And that's why we find that Avram was thrown into the fiery furnace. That was his first nesoyin. He was thrown into the fiery furnace to forfeit himself physically to the Divine Shlomo. His nesoyin was in an area to forfeit his chius in an area of nefashis, in an area of giving over nefashis. So even when he did have a son, so first of all, he was an akar. That itself was an assayin. Are you going to forfeit yourself to the Rabbeinu Shalom and be a mace for Hashem's sake? And even when he did have children, he was forced to send away Yishmael, and he was asked to shecht Yitzchak. Which is all areas of b'chol nafshecha. I feel a noteless nafshecha.
You don't have to give him a choice about being an akar. That's not something you choose.
Right, but it's whether he was going to question Hashem or not. So his avoida was an area of ahavas Hashem b'chol nafshecha. Yitzchak's avoida was b'chol levavcha, afilu noitel, afilu b'shnei yitzarecha, meaning that a person is obligated to consider themselves blind when they're shown their emes, that to be moide, that what I have my preconceived notion was wrong, I was blind. Esau was sure that Yitzchak was sure that Esau was the right one. He was going to give him the brachas. And when he realized the emes, that Yaakov took the brachas, Yitzchak said, Gam baruch ye. He didn't start cursing Yaakov. He realized, this Rivka must be right. Gam baruch ye. when Yitzchak, just try to imagine, Yitzchak was 36 years old at the time of the Akedah. His father had preached to the entire world that Hashem is not like all the other gods that appreciate human sacrifices. And now Yitzchak is being told by his father that Hashem asked you to be a human sacrifice. His entire preconceived notion of what spirituality is, he had to throw that out the window. He had to be maimus himself. He had to kill himself, basically. He had to sacrifice his b'chol levavcha, his yetzer tov, his spirituality. He had to consider himself a summa. And Yaakov's avoida was an avoida of b'chol mo'idecha, a filanoitel esme moincha, to forfeit all one's money. And you see that Yaakov's nisyonis throughout his life was all in areas where, actually many of them were in areas of money. His nisyonis with Lavan, with the akudim, nikudim, evrudim, fool them this way, fool them that way, is all in the area of money. There's the, he went back for the Pachim Ketanim. Chazal asks, why do you go back for the Pachim Ketanim? Chazal say, because Tzadikim is Memoina Mechavav Aleim Yotzer Megufam. Their money is more favorable to them than their body. It's the same drosha that Chazal use as to why the Torah needs to say B'chol Moedecha once it said B'chol Nafshecha already. Right, the Gemara asks, once it says B'chol Nafshecha, you have to forfeit your life, why does it have to tell me B'chol Moedecha? So Chazal answer, because there are people that are more connected to their money than to their lives. Chazal used the same term for Yaakov Avinu. That's why he went back for the Pachim Ketanim. So that is Yaakov. Yaakov is B'chol Moedecha. He had to sacrifice himself financially to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Now we can understand how the three Yom Tovim correspond to the three Ovis. Avram's Nisayon, which was B'chol Nafshecha, which in Yaakov Avinu was a mace because his Nisayonis were in the area of Bonim. So there's a Yontif of Yigamta Levincha, the Yontif of giving over the Mesorah to our children. That corresponds to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu that withstood the Nisayon of being someone who has no children. Yitzchak, whose Nisayon was B'chol Levavcha, to declare oneself blind when they're shown the emes. Shavuos corresponds to Yitzchak, where we're shown, we're given the Torah HaKadosh. And we say, Nasa v'nishma, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, whatever you tell us, we will hear. We will follow you blindly. And then Sukkot corresponds to Yankiv, where we leave all of our money behind. Our nice house and everything. We leave all of our convenience behind, we go into this poor hut to declare ourselves an ani chashiv kemes. So this is why when Yaakov separated from, finally got away from Esav, which Esav represents the koiches of Ra, the koiches of evil, the antithesis of v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshcha, v'chol moedecha. Yaakov nasa sukkosa. Yaakov went to Sukkos. He went to a place that is the culmination. Sukkos is considered the culmination of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. It starts with Pesach, ends with Sukkos. He went to Sukkos, because Sukkos is the culmination of v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshcha, v'chol moedecha. And that's why it says immediately afterwards, Vayova Yaakov Shalem. Yaakov came whole. Says Rashi, Shalem Begufoy. He was considered whole physically. Shalem B'memoinoy. He was considered whole financially. And Shalem B'Teirosa. And he was whole spiritually. He had accomplished B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Moedecha. Now we have three brisos. There are three things that are called bris. One of them is Mila. One of them is Shabbos. Shabbos is a bris. And the Torah is a bris. The three brisos that we have correspond to these three shlemos that we're supposed to accomplish, corresponding to the three avos. We have the bris mila, which represents forfeiting ourselves physically to the Rabbi Nishalayla, which was the nesoyin of Avram Avinu, and that's why it's called brisoy shel Avram Avinu. Bris mila is called brisoy shel Avram Avinu, because that's what Avram Avinu's nesoyin was, forfeiting himself physically to the Rabbi Nishalayla. We have the bris of Torah, which corresponds to Yitzchak, to Shavuos. And then we have the bris of Shabbos, which is a yid forfeiting themselves financially to the Rabbi Nishalayla. We're not going to work. Lamatas malachas are also. We forfeit ourselves financially to the Rabbi Nishalayla. And the Gemara says, Klama anegas haShabbos. Somebody who brings einig to Shabbos, noisim lo nachla b'li mitzarim, he's given an inheritance without boundaries. As it says in the pasuk, nachlas Yaakov yirosh. Nachlas Yaakov. It's the inheritance we have from Yaakov, Shabbos Kodesh. Yaakov, who represents the B'chol Moedecha, forfeiting oneself financially, the Yontif of Sukkos. So that's why Shabbos and Mila are dependent on each other. We have to, the Rabbi Shalom wants us to forfeit ourselves totally to him, financially, physically, and spiritually. If a person is only willing to forfeit themselves physically and not financially, and vice versa, they don't go one without the other. So you need a Shabbos before a bris, and you need bris before a Shabbos. They are intertwined with each other. So this is why the Shivtei Ka, when they made their condition, they said, there's one extra word they used, if you look into the Pasuk. They said, Imtiu kamoinu lehimay lechem kol zachar, if you will be like us, to circumcise yourselves. They didn't say, if you'll circumcise yourself. If you'll be like us, to circumcise yourself. You know what that means? That means if you'll forfeit yourself physically and financially to the Rabbi Nishalaylam, then it's a deal. But their entire purpose of going through this was only for their own sake, for the sake of their tithes, and for the sake of finances. If you look into the Pesukim, these people are gonna do schayr with us. We're gonna become business partners. That's no deal. Even when they repeated it to their people, They said, if we will circumcise ourselves, kasher heimnim loylem, the way they circumcise themselves. No, we circumcise ourselves to forfeit ourselves physically to the Rebbeinu Shlom. So Shimon HaLevi completed the job for them. They forfeited them physically. The Yevonim knew that this was the Koyach of Klal Yisrael. Koyach of Klal Yisrael is b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol maidacha. The fact that we forfeit ourselves to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam physically, financially, and spiritually. And that we have bris milah that gives us that ability to forfeit ourselves physically. We have Shabbat that gives us the ability to forfeit ourselves financially. So they were mevatel Shabbos and Milah. The mitzvah, the first mitzvah that we have, the first mitzvah in the Torah that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us as a nation was the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Why was that the first mitzvah? It's as we say in Kiddush Levana, Shem Asidim L'Schadish Kemaisa, Klal Yisrael is compared to the moon. Meaning that we have to be people that are willing to forfeit our light. We have to be willing, if it is the Ratzon Hashem, to forfeit ourselves spiritually to Him. That is what the moon represents. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave us our first mitzvah. You should know, here are your mitzvahs. But I want you to know, says the Rebbeinu Shlom, you are being compared to the moon. The moon disappears into darkness and reappears and is mechadish itself. And we need to know that when we are challenged and our spirituality is challenged, we have to be willing to suffer the challenge, sometimes to suffer darkness, but to reinvigorate ourselves. So the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh represents Klal Yisrael forfeiting themselves spiritually to the Rebbeinu Shlom. So the Yevonim focus specifically on these three mitzvahs, Shabbos, Chodesh, Hamila, which represent the B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Maidacha. Forfeiting ourselves physically, financially, and spiritually. And I'd like to suggest that this is why we have a minig of playing with the dreidel on Hanukkah. The dreidel has four letters. Nun, Gimel, Hey, and Shin. And I think that what these letters represent is the Gimel represents the Guf, which is our physical selves. The Nun represents our Neshama, which is our spiritual selves. The hay represents hoin. Hoin means our finances. And the shin represents shleimus. Sholem begufoy, sholem bememoinoy, sholem betayrosoy. When is a yid sholem? When we realize that we're being spun from above. Everything is being spun from above. Our guf, our neshama, our hoin, and we're forfeiting everything to the Rebbeinu Shlom. That is how we overcome the klipa of Yavam. The Bnei Yisrael says that's why there are 8 days of Chanukah. He answers the Bnei Yisrael's kasha. Right? Why is there... There was a miracle with only 7 days. Why do we keep? Why do we have a yontif of 8 days? So he says because they wanted to be mevatel Shabbos, Chodesh, and Mila. So So therefore, Chazal made a yontif that Hanukkah always has a Shabbos. It always has a Rosh Chodesh, but it doesn't always have a milah. So instead, Chazal made it 8 days. So that 8 days corresponds to milah. So now it has the yontif of Hanukkah corresponds to Shabbos, Chodesh, and milah. The Yevonim wanted to uproot our Yisoidis of Shabbos, Chodesh, and milah, which represent B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Moedecha. We have a yontif that represents all three. And we have a dreidel that represent all three and represent that Shleimus is Davka through forfeiting ourselves, Guf, Nefesh, and Hoin. And the last and final day of Chanukah, the culmination of Chanukah, is called Zois Chanukah, because Zois, as we mentioned before, is Tzoim Koil Mamoin. Tzoim is fasting, is forfeiting ourselves physically. Mamoin is obviously is forfeiting ourselves financially. And koil is prayer, tefillah, Torah, which is forfeiting ourselves spiritually to the Rebbein Shleim. B'zois yom ha'aron ala kodesh, it is zois Chanukah. You know what Chanukah is? Chanukah is a yontav of zois, of tzoim koil mamon, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol moedecha. Guf, neshama, hoin. And that's why, that's how Yaakov prepared himself to greet Esav with milchama, which is forfeiting himself physically, with doiren, which is giving away himself financially, and with tefillah, which is forfeiting himself spiritually to the Rebbein Shleim. The way to overcome the koiches of tumah are to forfeit ourselves totally to the Rebbein Shleim, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol moedecha. And that's how we say Shema Koileinu. Shema Koileinu is Rebbein Shleim, accept our koil. Our koil means our kuflam advav, which is tzoyim, koil, mamon. Rebbein Shleim, we forfeit ourselves to you physically, financially, and spiritually. That in the schus of Zois Chanukah, in the schus of forfeiting ourselves to the Rebbein Shleim, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshcha, v'chol miyadacha, with tzoyim, koil, mamon, Shabbos, Chodesh, and Mila, we should be zoiche, that Hashem should Shema Koileinu, we should listen to our koil, to all three types of koil, and he should bring us Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehira b'yameinu, amen.